for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216. If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.
It's special!
They're all very special, aren't they?
It's special to me. I'm special. Yep. Listen to the
special. We bring the short bus to the podcast.
Yep, if you want to ride the short bus, call us in advance. We'll stop and pick you up. But you got to get in the emergency exit out in the back.
I've already thought this was like four different bands.
You'll realize who it is, I think, once it gets right. It does. It's like, what classic metal intro is this? Hans might know. I don't know.
I'm still lost.
I'm just standing in the rain.
At first it sounded like, because you had it really low, it almost sounded like a Megadeth intro.
It does kind of sound. It still kind of sounds like. It's the old Suicidal Tendencies.
Nice.
Because death is everywhere. We were just talking before we pushed record to how everybody's dying. Not necessarily killing themselves, but.
Yep.
You kind of kill yourself with heroin.
Yeah. We'll
talk about that.
A lot of death going on, but we were talking about how. Limitations on birth if we like stopped.
Oh yeah.
Like for the next 40 years no one could have a baby.
You can't have kids anymore because there's too many.
Yeah, so if you're one and when you turn 41 then you could start having babies again. But for the next 40 years let's just chill on having babies. None.
Because there's 8 million people in this world and we're sucking it dry.
8 billion.
That's what I meant. Thank
billion.
You for,
yep.
Thank you for that correction. 8 billion. Maybe not 8 billion, but really close.
Yeah.
It's over 7 billion. 350 million in America. If we could just stop having kids for a while. I mean, I know you ladies love babies, and some guys are like, yeah, I want to have a kid. But really, guys, you don't really want to have a kid,
yeah.
Do you? Kids are hard. They cost a lot, and they are dicks.
And imagine the next generation, how it's going to be if we don't slow down, because they will be the first generation whose parents grew up with cell phones from birth.
Yeah, you know? Computers from 4 years old or younger, you know, like, I don't know. There's even people that are in their 30s now that have had computers since they were like 5, you know,
just yeah,
because that's when they grew up in the 90s and they're a little more privileged than.
Certainly. I got my computer in 94, but I was 18 at the time.
Right.
And so even in high school, and I'm only 38, even in high school, the computers weren't like in every class. We had a computer lab with some Macs, and you could get a pass to go in there to do, you know, sit work or whatever.
The first evidence I saw of computer in schools was in 1982. In the eighth grade, they had one of those green letter, you know, the letters are green on the screen.
Yep.
An Apple. First Apple or an Apple
or
II.
Commodore.
Maybe a Commodore 64 or an Apple II. And you had to hang around during lunch or volunteer some of your study time from study hall where I wanted to, you know what I wanted to do. I wanted to go listen to Suicidal Tendencies and smoke some weed.
Yeah, and it didn't even occur to you that at that time that you could go in there to look up porn.
Because you really...
You couldn't.
No. That's what I was going to say, but I stopped myself because I didn't know if that was true because I never tried. But today you can't go on the internet without looking up porn by accident.
Yep.
Let's go to a...
I used to hang out in the computer lab at school after school.
I could imagine.
Sometimes. And I would... Just to write stupid little comedy stories.
Well, sure. Like,
you know, even from one sentence to others, I was just like typing them out like a keyboard style, you know. Some people like the pen and paper. Some people, it flows from the fingertips onto a keyboard easier. And then you had the computer lab to where I don't know if you ever took like a typewriting class.
I took a typing class, and then
was it on computers or on typewriters?
Yeah, we were old.
But on the computer, in our day, they had you could geek out on this. They had this program that would see how fast you could type the alphabet from A to Z. With the home keys and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I remember a couple people, like they like games and, you know, games of a challenge of that sort. And they had it maxed out. Like, it would, because it would flash every letter on the screen as you pressed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the fastest time would actually be how long it would take to display that. And they would finish it before, it was like, under 3 seconds, it was like 2.4 seconds or something typing the alphabet on a keyboard.
It's crazy.
Yep.
That's like, it was hard enough for me to type like maybe 50 words a minute with minimal mistakes.
That's
I didn't practice a lot. But
yeah, especially on a typewriter, man. Yeah.
Not even a word processor. We're talking like a typewriter.
Mm-hmm. Where you got the gaps.
One, I don't think it's the one with the things that get clogged up.
Mm-hmm.
It was the electric typewriters with a ball.
Yeah.
That would.
Okay.
And those balls are crazy because I used to take. My dad used to have like interchangeable balls. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't take that
or out. Or like wingdings and stuff like that?
Yeah. And like a Hebrew. And because.
That'd be weird.
It was. And in school, I would use it to type cryptic letters to girls that I liked. And
that's awesome.
Make them decipher it.
Oh,
because
wow.
If you're smart enough and you can use your brain, you can figure out, oh, well, this has to be an A because it's always by itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in a sentence. What other letter is going to be in the middle of a sentence? Single letter. Oh, that's an A. Okay.
Dude, you could have made puzzles for that games magazine.
Because, you know, when you're younger, you want to, like, tell a girl that you like her.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to come out and say it because you're too embarrassed. You might want to even write her a letter.
Yep.
But you don't
want some boxes next to yes and no.
Oh, man. And so instead, and I'll even out her. Marcy Brooks.
Uh-huh.
She'll never, well, you never know. She could have Googled Terry Guile, who sent her a cryptic letter saying that I think I like you and I want to do, I want to lay down in a bed with you.
Wow.
Or whatever, like an eighth graders are kind of just in that, at least for me.
Yep.
I was like 13, somewhere around there, and I'm just kind of trying to feel what teenagers feel. And she was a little embarrassed, but she liked me enough to where she took the time to figure out a full page typed at, and she goes, "Yeah, I figured it out." And I was like, "Yeah, how can I know that you did?" And she told me a couple lines from it or whatever. But so yeah, my dad worked for a preacher, and he was a PR guy, and he would set up revivals in like New Zealand and overseas and stuff, and for this revival preacher minister guy, and for some reason that guy's typewriter had like different language balls for his typewriter. Language balls.
That's crazy.
I don't know how many, but there was like different fonts.
It'd be weird English. For like the Asian ones that are just the characters, and because it goes backwards, does their typewriters go the up and down?
Yeah, and isn't an Asian in like Japanese and Chinese, like a symbol can mean like a whole word, not a letter.
Yeah, but they read from like the opposite way and from up and down, right? From
probably.
Down. And so how would your typewriter would go up as you typed and you'd run that thing and it would like
I don't think it would work.
How it would be like a sideways typewriter. It'd have to be.
Yeah, I don't think it would work. I guess.
Well, what did they do then? They just still wrote on rice.
I don't know how Hebrew and Greek writing. I don't know. The one with like the backwards E that looks like a sideways M.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Greek or is that or Latin?
That's.
You know,
Greek,
like, and there's also like Latin. Like
when you look at like frat house letters,
yeah,
that's Greek.
Is it Greek?
Yeah,
because that is Greek to me.
Well, there might be some Latin.
It's Greek to me.
Hey, Alpha Omega.
We didn't say anything, but today is episode 705, I believe.
Yep.
And it's probably going to come out on Wednesday, so we'll give you a happy hump day. Because we told you, we're not even kidding around. We'd like to thank our donators. Hans Jochumsen, the number one.
Dude, so awesome.
He's the number one donator as far as, like, if we were keeping track, like, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
But we are. Hans has given the most donations.
Dude, thank you, Hans. And, special shout out.
That's right.
Love you, Mang.
And Pierre Mach 1.
Pierre, you can special follow him shout
on,
out.
Follow him on Twitter at P in the Air.
P in the Air.
People used to call him that in school when he was in...
That's his Twitter handle?
Yeah. At P in the Air.
Nice, nice. Congratulations on getting that one. I remember when it was after Twitter had been out for a while, but I just went there and grabbed a bunch of handles that I thought would be cool to have. And then I just didn't do anything with them.
Is that all those people that like me on Twitter that I don't know who they're, like, badfoods.at?
Yeah, badfoods is one of them. Because, you know, that was a string of jokes that I had going.
Everybody likes bad foods.
Uh-huh. And there's a Knight Rider one I made, too, that I was going to, like, because you can auto-tweet things.
Yeah.
So I was just going to do that and hopefully maybe drum up some followers or something. But it's more hassle than it's worth. Hassle. Yeah.
And I know that Pierre says he listens all the time, so he probably heard me say, I think last week I said that he gave me a $10 bill.
Oh, I thought you were going to say gonorrhea.
Yeah, he gave me herpes of the lip.
Uh-huh.
The vaginal lip, which I don't have, so that means it's not true. No, I said he gave me $10 or a $10 bill. Well, actually, what happened was he came to the month before Sam Bond's Bleeping Funny and gave me $5, and I kind of like put it in my pocket and forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he gave me the second $5 at the next month Sam Bond's Bleeping Funny, I was like, he's like, here. I was like, what's this for? He's like, for the podcast. And I was like, oh, yeah, thanks. And he was like, awesome. That proves that you listen.
Yeah.
And then you know we need money.
Thanks to you both.
And so if anyone else is listening and you maybe listen enough to have missed our shows, maybe you're tired of hearing us three times a week. I don't know. But we were so out of money that we like had to lower our bandwidth and we already used up all of our shit for the month. But we're uploading new shit or whatever. Dustin takes care of that. But now that we got the funds from Hans and Pierre and our returning sponsor, the Brownsville Car Wash, who never really left, but they kind of did, but they still got a plug at the beginning.
Because
most of you know that's my business. But it's the sun's out. And people wash their cars more often. And they suck out the shit.
Do you ever just... You could stand on the corner out there, right, and offer to spray people off when it's hot out?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we'll spray your whole family off for $1.75.
That hurts. It's a little hot. They'd have to, like, maybe stand down.
Oh, does it get hot?
No, it's just high pressure.
Oh.
It feels like it's ripping your skin off. Like, sometimes I'll be messing around, cleaning up around there with spraying off the lot, and I'll get, like, some grease on my hand or mud, and I'll, like... pull the trigger like at arm's length as far as I can reach with the wand and dude, it hurts. So kids, don't do what Gatch said.
You could cut yourself with a high enough pressure, because they do have actual cutters that are water pressure cutters that cut like metal.
Just whistling Dixie.
You can make metal gears and stuff like that.
I can't remember if it was on like Sons of Anarchy or Breaking Bad, but some kind of torture tactic. Some people were trying to get somebody to talk and they used a weed whacker with the nylon. And they were weed whacking him in the face with that nylon.
Dude, that would fucking hurt, dude. Oh, that would just tear you up.
Dude, I fucking weed whacked my leg that last week. I still got a big, like, kind of hole in my leg. And then there was like...
You got to wear pants.
I was wearing pants. Whacking. That's when that I know, you know that I whacked minimum. Too hard.
You don't want to be wearing shorts when you're weed whacking.
Oh, God. And my weed whacker, I probably told you the story, had my son try to use it, and he broke it. And I said, if you didn't want to fucking do it, you could have just told me. You don't have to fucking break the weed whacker. And so I fucking braced it up like a broken arm from the fucking war in the 40s and duct taped it with a piece of metal, bracing it. And it lasts a while, and then it gets kind of droopy. And so I'm kind of having to hold it backwards because my yard was like 4 feet tall before I bought that lawnmower I was telling you guys about. And so sometimes it would just kind of swing into my leg, and it got me good one time. So don't do that, because that fucking hurt. And now it's itchy.
Yeah, I learned long ago, no shorts when you're weed whacking. I saw a guy the other day, dude. He had a weed whacker, and he was going over the grass, and the grass was like freshly mowed. It's like, yeah, I mean, he was getting down fine-tuning.
Right down to the nubs?
Fine-tuning. No, it was probably like an inch, you know, long. But, I mean, he just had the weed whacker, and he's just going over. He was right on the very corner, but he was just like...
Well, you can flip those. All, yeah.
I was like, dude, that's geeking out.
I have to put mine up a couple notches on the raise it up thing because I got kind of a bumpy lawn. I got like, I've had years of pesky old gophers and moles digging up holes, and then I mow over them, and then
I remember my dad, he would make these devices for gopher holes because he worked at a metal shop.
Was it a trap?
It was a automatic shotgun shell blaster.
Ooh, you put it in the hole?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
It was
fuck.
Like
that
a block
like
of metal, like, and then it had a cylinder welded to it, right?
Yeah.
And then it basically had like a rod on it that would trigger a hammer to hit the primer to shoot the shotgun down into the hole. You just point down the hole, and whenever they dig, they would hit that little, it was like an eighth-inch metal rod that would extend good amount, so it'd just be whenever it felt the vibrations enough when they're down there digging up, boom.
Damn, dude.
And we'd always put a couple in the yard, and every once in a while you just hear a random shotgun shell just go off.
I could have swore I heard some of those in my neighborhood just yesterday.
Maybe you did.
I mean, I think it was people shooting at somebody, but
I think they were illegal though. Or you
probably
know,
that's dangerous. What if there's a kid playing in your yard?
That's true. Hey, well, I always knew we'd actually go in there because we lived on the outskirts of a trailer park, and we had, you know, there was people around us, but we were right on the river and stuff, and then but we'd go out in the back and just he more than I hang out there with shotguns and wait for the dirt to move.
Oh
yeah, he would spend evenings out there just look like
I've
a shotgun.
I've seen it happen.
Man, I don't have that kind of patience, but his patience for hunting was unmatched.
I only remember a time or two as a younger man or a child, maybe a teenager in between, being in the right place at the right time, just sitting in the yard, not waiting for a gopher, and all of a sudden, dirt starts coming up from the grass, and the first time I saw it, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
If you had a 410, man, you'd be right there.
If I had a hammer, I'd be like, pow! It's like gophers, or what's it? Whack-a-mole.
Yep. Whack-a-mole.
That's
dude.
What I wanted.
That's exactly what it is.
That's probably how they thought of that. A kid was sitting in his yard with a fucking mallet. Oh,
probably,
whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
But
that was probably a game that they played back before Kick the Can became popular.
Yeah, well, we just sit in the yard and wait for mole to burrow up, and then we just whack him in the head.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and whacks up moles. Well, he whacks up some moles. He burrows up in another spot, and then the other guy whacks him. But yeah, we were outside at a barbecue just down the street from my house celebrating the graduation of Pat Wambacher's daughter. And Dave Wambacher, former guest, Super Dave, former guest of the show, was down there and got to hang out with Dave for a while, which was pretty cool. And I told him that Hans had requested his presence back on the show because I got a letter, handwritten letter with Hans. I think I talked about it last week, saying that we should bring back certain guests. And I also saw Jerry Murphy on Friday, and he said, yeah, I got some stuff to talk about whenever you guys invite me back on the show.
Did those guys forget?
I'm like, dude, you're not have to be invited. You can come every day. Don't try to put it off on me.
Yep.
And obviously, he doesn't listen to the show. I hope you're listening now, Jerry, you fucker. Thanks for coming to the show, though. I appreciate the support for the victims thing. But we'll talk about that later. He didn't know that Pizza Now had dropped their sponsorship with us, and he didn't. So, you know, it's just things like that that really tell the true tale of who's listening and who's not. And, of course, he's going to listen when he's on the show. Well, you know, what the fuck ever.
Of course. So play? He should just come on more shows.
That's right. He should come on more shows.
I had a little clip I was going to play because we were talking about methods of torture.
That must be me. Is this still on here? What the fuck's going on?
I don't know what you got playing over there.
That was still suicidal from back when we started the whole fucking show.
It's going.
You got a volume on yours?
Sound was used for centuries as a method of torture. And remember, sound was used for centuries as a method of torture.
Sound was?
Place someone's head inside of a bell. Ring it. And eventually, they'll go insane. And eventually, they'll go insane.
It is. I'm going insane right now.
I know.
What is that?
Negative Land.
Dyspepsy?
No, that is Escape from Noise, where they talk about noise.
You know what's weird? I've only heard like the one or two songs, and I somehow that band was in my head. So mm-hmm. I guess I knew who that was without knowing who that was. Well, cool. Yeah, we could torture you guys all day with stuff like that. At first, when I turned up the volume and it was still suicidal, I was like, you think suicidal is torture? It makes people want to kill themselves. That's suicidal.
We're up to our long-distance dedication.
Oh,
and
fuck.
This one is about kids.
They found him.
And a situation that we can all understand.
They found
whether
Casey.
Whether we have kids
Casey.
Or pets or
this
anything.
Is Negative's Land's song that got him sued.
Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again.
Go,
coming
Casey.
Coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. That's the letter U and the numeral 2. The four-man band features Adam Clayton on bass, Larry Mullen on drums, Dave Evans, nicknamed The Edge, on... This is bullshit. Nobody cares. These guys are from England, and who gives a shit? There's a lot of wasted names that don't mean diddly shit.
They don't mean diddly shit.
This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
We hope you're listening, Casey. Now they're back home.
Yep.
His daughter has been granted rights to see him now.
Oh, has she?
His crazy wife was trying to keep her away from him or something, and then, I don't know. We talked about that. Casey Kasem.
Yep. And the Negative Land, they did a whole album of little mashups of U2 of this song.
Oh.
Just destroyed it, and then it got him sued.
Well, that's cool. For them, I guess.
Yep. And, yeah, I love the Casey Kasem. These guys are from England, and who gives a shit?
Their names don't even mean diddly shit. Fucking Bono in the head. Diddly shit.
Casey Kasem, you could have a meltdown.
Yeah.
But he was a professional. It's like that Christian Bale thing where, remember when he went off on those people because they were standing.
Oh, on the set of the movie?
They were standing in a sight line is what was going on.
On the set of something that he was filming. Yeah, I remember.
And
that.
He's a method actor where you get all like, you prepare
you're
for that,
that
shit and you're that person for... You know, like Jim Carrey did for Dumb and Dumber.
Uh-huh.
That's what I try to imagine is like, you know, because he did that for that movie, I would imagine. Did you know his tooth is really chipped like that? Like
yeah.
He has a false
and they took it off. Yeah, I wonder if they're going to take it off again when they do the sequel.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
They oughter.
They should.
But hey, you know, just a second ago, I was talking about Jerry Murphy, and he acted like we didn't ask him on the show is why he hasn't been on for so long.
Dude, I asked him that last time he was paintballing.
Yeah, and that's what he was talking about. And he said, look at me, I thought it would be cool to paintball with a fucking sleeveless shirt on, and now he got sunburned, and he was all peeling.
Is he paintballing again?
And then he got shot with a paintball, and it looked like he had a ringworm
right there.
And so that's his thing, and he does that most Sundays, I guess, and he has to work all the rest of the time. But uh-huh. I think if we guilt him into it and ask him enough weeks in advance. So I'm going to ask him for like 2 weeks from today, if I can get him in here. Because you've been special requested, Jerry Murphy.
Oh,
but he came out to the show
to have on too.
Jason Lay. And mm-hmm. old Jason Moser came down. It was an old school reunion of sorts, and it was pretty fun. Jason Rowe was down there in Linden from 30 Pound Test, and
nice.
Chris Montez and his girlfriend showed up. Jeff Simpson and his girlfriend Tim.
Hello.
Just kidding. Pretty sure his girlfriend's Debbie Starr. Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry. Anyway, we got to go visit Jeff Simpson sometime out at his farm. He lives out towards Jefferson.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We could do a podcast in his barn.
The Barncast.
Oh, you know what? And so Jerry Murphy bought like 25 tickets at the fucking Alvin Palooza
mm-hmm.
for whatever they were raffling off. And there mm-hmm. wasn't a lot of people there. And then towards the end of the night, a lot of people had already left. So there weren't a lot of people there to win. And you had to be present to win.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're like giving away right before we leave, right before the last band. I'm hanging around.
A new car.
He's like, here, Terry, just have mine because I got to leave. And I go, no, just wait. They're going to do it right now. So like, all right, $100 detail job for your car. And I'm all, Jerry Murphy. And they're all, Jerry Murphy. And then they gave one something to someone else. And then the next one was a package to Guitars Under the Stars. 2 3-day passes and a parking pass. $100 mm-hmm. value. Guitars Under the Stars. And I'm all, Jerry Murphy. And they're all, Jerry Murphy. And every time I'd say it, it would. He ended up winning two of those $100 prize packs, the Guitars Under the Stars. And he gave one to me. So I just might go.
Nice.
I don't know. Splinter Throne's going to be playing there. Dude, they're like Judas Priest. But they don't. Well, they did end up playing a cover of a cover. Joan Baez, as done by Judas Priest, as done by...
Put up a parking lot.
No, it was Diamonds and Rose.
That's not even her, though, is it?
That's Joni Mitchell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought that, though, all last season.
Put up a parking lot. Ooh, lop, lop, lop. What is it about that song?
I don't know. Counting Crows.
I don't know. Is it just that catchy?
It's not. But why does it
grab you like that to make you like, you know, is it just...
I thought it was just because of back then it was a real statement. Now everything's a fucking parking lot.
Yeah, that's true.
But back then they were...
They were
taking fields and putting up a parking lot.
Yep. And now the parking lots are old school because now all the parking lots are now Walmarts.
By now they've built two buildings and tore them back down and built up a coffee shop.
Yep, every parking lot has a coffee shop.
You know what they're building? Okay, so they just built a new dentist office in Brownsville. They tore down the old Realty shop that when I think I told the story on here years ago about me and my friend breaking into a place and then breaking back in and putting the stuff back. Remember that story? Okay, yep. So they tore that place down and there was a fucking barber shop right next to it. So they tore those buildings down and then they built a new dentist thing. And so now they start building the thing right next to it. I'm like, what are they building here? A Mexican restaurant with two apartments upstairs? And the Mexican restaurant is already established in Brownsville for 2 years. They're doing all right. They're called Armando's, which sounds like...
They're just building their own apartments upstairs so they don't have
to... So their family can live there. No, I think they're going to rent them out to people or animals. I'm not sure. Uh-huh. But just weird because there's a bunch of failed restaurants in Brownsville and just to build a... they're building it on a parking lot.
Do you guys have a mattress store in Brownsville?
Mattress Land! No, it's called... Sharing Hands. It's like the local
I was just wondering because, man, a mattress store opens up every week in Albany.
Do they?
There's a lot of mattress stores in Albany.
Why buy a mattress anywhere else?
It's like how many mattresses does Albany sell is requiring a day? Let's say there's 30,000 people here, which I think might be accurate, right?
I think it's more than that now.
All right.
I think we're up to 40.
All right, let's say 40.
I'm not here.
Let's say 40, right?
Okay.
And so...
Does that include the richers over in North Albany, like Hans?
Yeah. Well, let's just say 40. 40 is pretty safe, right? Yeah.
We'll say 45.
Let's say 36, 5,500.
I'd say 44, 44. 50.
So you're looking at, if you to sell one mattress a day...
Mattress Land!
Right. You got to sell to... 1% of the people, right, every year, right? But that's about 1% would be 365 people.
Oh, 51,322.
Wow.
That was in 2012.
Do you think you could sell a mattress, a store sells a mattress a day?
A mattress a day keeps the doctor away.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen. Well, maybe it does. I guess, you're probably usually selling more than one mattress at a time.
You'd think.
But sometimes, you know, mattresses are only $99.
What?
And then you get the box, bring for free.
No, dude.
What, how?
The good beds that they
How many
make
times
their,
have you bought a bed you know, in your life?
Maybe four.
Wow. All right.
And you know, I spend a third of my life on it. I need a spring, no pun intended, for a new bed because... The ones that they make their fucking meat and potatoes, is that opposite of the bread and the butter? Because some people say, oh, that's my bread and butter. That means that's their everything. But the meat and potatoes of the whole business is what? Is that opposites? Because I've never thought about that.
No,
until
the
just
meat and
came
potatoes out. Is the very basics.
But what's the bread and butter? The day-to-day, the stuff you need every day? The stuff you do every day? That's the bread and butter of my business. That's the butter that breads my butter with
I
butter.
I guess that's what you make your most profit on.
Okay. Well, okay.
Or no, that's how you bring the food to the table. So I think that's what it basically means, right? That's how you're bringing food to the table.
I don't
because that's,
know.
Because that's my bread and butter. That's how I put bread and butter on the table.
But who eats just bread and butter anymore besides prison inmates? But anyway, the bread and butter or the meat and potatoes, whichever it may be of those.
I hope you got a toaster at least.
Those fucking companies is those high dollar items that the people who have decided, look, I spend a third of my life on my bed. It affects my well-being in the daytime, the amount of good REM sleep that I get. So they got the Sleep Number beds. They got the Tempur-Pedic beds. They got the Tempur-Pedic automatic fucking beds that are like $2,000, dude. $2,000.
What if you just got...
Who's going to spend $2,000 for a bed? I'm waving my hands in the arms, you guys.
If you got all your friends to order one of those Tempur-Pedic samples, you could probably glue it together.
I got a 4-inch Tempur-Pedic topper
pillow.
It makes a big difference.
I can imagine.
My back feels better.
What about if one corner of your bed is completely sunken? Just like one corner.
Like where the dog
lays? But the
lays,
whole corner.
Where you let your fat dog lay on
no,
the bottom corner.
It was more where I had an amp head sitting there for a long time.
On your bed?
Yeah. It was a weird place for it.
Hey, this just caught my eye because it's funny to read, Gary the Retard. Gary the Retard, you know who he is?
Yeah.
From here, from the Howard Stern Show.
Local hero.
He's a notable person from Albany.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know he was from Albany.
Yeah. And yep, you hear stories every once in a while.
Well, I met him down at Dong Gong Comedy. Mm-hmm. He came down there and did some stuff on the okay, whatever. But anyway, I was trying to find the population growth in Albany just to find out how fast they're moving up, but I can't find it. Because Chris Castles was telling me that Austin right now is expanding by 110 people a day. 110 people a day? A day?
Yeah.
Dude, that's
30,000 a year.
That's 3,000 a month. Where are all those people coming from? Quit having kids, you
San
guys.
Antonio.
It comes back to that shit. Quit having
San
kids.
San Antonio.
Oh, wait. I forgot to get serious for a second. I was just talking about this guy last week, and I was accusing him of joke stealing without knowing that he stole it, because I watched his new special, Tracy Morgan. He's fighting for his life right now. You hear about that?
What, did he put his head up his ass? Piper!
No, he got into bed.
I heard he got into a wreck, and another comic lost his lizzle.
Was it a comic that lost his? I thought there was three of them in critical condition.
Yeah,
I
but thought. The one died.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a sad thing, but I guess they're in critical or whatever you call it, the ICU.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be more responsive. Of course, this probably came out Wednesday, so he's probably getting a little bit better. But it was a wall. It was a double Walmart truck that ran into him.
Yeah,
I thought the guy that got killed was the alternate driver.
No, he was a comic.
Okay,
I'm trying to look it up.
He was too. What the? Sorry,
James Jimmy Mac McNair.
Oh.
Yep, James McNair, Jimmy Mac.
Jimmy Mac, when are you coming back?
Yep.
Now this
Jimmy
is the
Mac.
This is the first actual.
You've seen Jimmy Mac, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so. This is the first actual inventory of injuries that I've seen. He suffered a broken leg, a broken femur, which is also your leg, a broken nose, and several broken ribs, and some internal injuries.
Now, do you think? Do you think that this was just Satan
that caused the crash?
Like when Tracy Morgan made his deal with the devil.
Did he?
I don't know. Or maybe he did. Maybe he sold his soul for fame.
Well, it's funny because I know last week we were talking about how a friend of mine, comic from around here, has been doing a joke since 2000, and I just heard Tracy Morgan do kind of the similar joke,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure it's parallel writing. And then I was telling that guy through an interchange of personal messages on Facebook, and he said, Tracy Morgan, he goes, the luckiest man in show business. And I said, yeah. And then 2 days later, he's in a coma. And so I couldn't help but say, guess he's not that lucky. I go, is that joke stealing karma too soon? No, he's just kidding. I hope he's doing well, and I hope that he pulls out.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex said, yeah.
The guy was apparently fell asleep.
Yeah, they're investigating.
He was in asleep at the wheel. A band?
The country band, yeah.
Yep.
And,
Who would be great to tour with Asleep at the Wheel?
No.
Driving and Crying.
Yeah. Let Jesus take the wheel. So it says here that Jimmy McNair guy was only just a writer for Morgan.
Uh-huh.
Did you already say that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure he did stand-up, though, but he probably just Tracy Morgan probably take care of him and have him write some jokes for him.
They had just done a show in Dover.
Yep.
Now, that one was a Dover. 6-vehicle crash.
Yep. You don't want to be driving and crying. That's not safe, dude.
You also don't want to be crashing and crying, because I heard that Tracy Morgan was crying, saying, help!
Yeah.
I'm Brian Fellows! Remember Brian Fellows?
Who's Brian Fellows?
You don't know Brian Fellows?
Is it a Tracy Morgan character?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's the guy from the Safari.
I only know him from 30 Rock.
Come on now. I was talking to my mother-in-law today, and she's like, did you hear about that comic that got in the wreck? He's in a coma.
I was
like,
yeah.
She goes, I know him from that show where they used to play tricks on people. I was like, punked?
Camera?
Punked? She's like, yeah, didn't he used to be on Punked? Like, I don't know. He was on Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock. And
you sure she wasn't talking about Alan Funt?
So I looked it up, and he was on one episode of Punked in 2003. So she thought that was his show.
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't think that's fucking, what's his name? Ashton Kutcher? But, do you know, remember Brian Fellows?
Somebody the other day, he came out.
And he'd have people on the show with an animal, and he's like, what kind of animal is that? That's not like Brian Fellows. I'm Brian Fellows. You don't remember Brian Fellows? Come on, dude. From Saturday Night Live, it was one of his most important characters.
Maybe if I saw it.
I'm Brian Fellows. He kept saying to say that a lot. He didn't have more than like a fourth grade education.
Maybe.
He didn't have any kind of certification in zoology or anything like that. But he had an extreme interest in animals. I'm Brian Fellows. He was fucking
sounds fun. Familiar.
Dude, it's hilarious. Hey, what do you got? I see you looking at something over there.
No, I was going to say I saw Mike Myers was on a show the other day, a talk show.
Mike Myers?
Yeah, it was on Fallon. He was on Fallon.
Okay.
Promoting his new movie about something.
All right.
Documentary kind of a thing. Can't remember exactly what it's about. Yeah, he said he had to hang at home and watch some TV for a while, and like one weekend he heard like 50 of his catchphrases.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Everything from sports to other stuff. That would be weird.
That would be weird.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember Alan Funt?
Yeah, I used to watch Candid Camera all the time when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Not an accredited zoologist, nor does he.
You know, he was. He studied business administration at Columbia University.
Alan Funt?
Yep.
That sounds like fun.
In 1946, he began a show on ABC Radio called Canted Microphone, and soon experimented with a visual version by doing a series of theatrical short films, also known as Canted Microphones. In the 1963 season, he appeared as an albino orangutan on the new Phil Silver show.
Huh. Didn't know that. I don't know anything about him.
I don't know anything about him either.
I know that his son had something to do with the show after a while.
Mm-hmm. I know he had a bunch of spots on his face.
He had a bald head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he used to make people very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Before it was common fodder.
How did you prefer Candid Camera or bloopers and jokes with Dick Clark and Ed McMahon.
I'm going to have to say probably the former, the candid camera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember very little bits of candid camera. It was always goofy and very...
It seemed to be on during dinner time a lot when mm-hmm. I was a kid. I would want to watch it while I was eating dinner, and my mom would say, eat at the table, and I'd say, I'm going to eat in the living room.
Do you consider that reality TV?
Pretty much. It's real people experiencing things that they think are real things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Deal With It. I've been watching that. It's pretty funny.
I was watching that one show, What Would You Do? You ever watch that show?
Maybe.
With that one guy, and he goes, what would you do?
Nope, I don't think I've seen it.
It's like a Nightline thing. You used to show after Shark Tank and stuff, and what they do is they hire actors to go into social situations and act politically incorrect, I guess, just to see how other people will react and if somebody will take a stand. Like, one scenario was a lady and her child was all giving her a rough time, and so she, like, sent the kid out in the parking lot so she could drink her coffee in peace, and everybody around was all freaking out, and, you know, she was only, like, 3 or something. But, yeah, and then they come in and go, oh, you were on What Would You Do? And they always recognize the guy and go, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm on this show.
I've never even heard of it.
Or one lady was in, they were getting pedicures, and she was, like, all saying Asian jokes and going, what, she can't hear me? She doesn't understand what I'm saying. She doesn't know English. And the people were all freaking out. But it's like a show, like, setting up, like, what would you do if this happened around you? And every time people go, I couldn't believe this has happened. I've never experienced anything like this. And so they're basically making up stuff that
would never happen.
Would never happen.
Well, it's kind of like that Deal With It show. They make you do stuff that's totally out of character for yourself because the person that's telling you what to do doesn't know this stranger.
There's a prize in that.
Yeah, there is money. That's true. You could say...
They ask some outlandish stuff, too.
I bet.
No, on the Deal With It.
I'm Brian Fellow!
I'm Brian Fellow.
He is Brian Fellows.
That bird is a liar! Oh.
There's not much about Alan Funt on his Wikipedia page.
Yeah, he's kind of old hat. He's old.
So is Charlie Chaplin.
That's true. She probably have a bigger Wikipedia page than Alan Funt.
I would imagine. Charlie, you know, he wasn't really a chaplain.
What was he, a minister?
Mm-hmm.
I got weed in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we in my mouth.
Risen.
Also, you missed it, and I missed it too. Was or maybe we talked about it. Was what's his face on Celebrity Wife Swap?
Dweezil
Zappa.
Yeah, you told me I missed it, and I did miss it because I was watching something else. I think I was watching Last Comic Standing.
I think that might have been it. But I don't know. It was
This is like.
It didn't look good from what I saw of it.
Yeah.
And what's he doing on that show? Come on.
Well.
What would Frank say? Is that a shirt yet? What would Frank say?
It should be a shirt. I don't know if it is, but I know a lot of people who don't have any legal right to make Frank Zappa shirts like to make Frank Zappa shirts and sell them.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly. I mean... I was surprised. Let me ask you a question. You have 202 shirts.
Yeah.
How many of them are concert shirts?
I have now 203. I'll have to get back to you on that.
All right. Give probably, a rough estimate.
Probably half at least. All right. Or 60%. And not necessarily concert, but band shirts.
All right. That have been. How many of those that are from the cheaper knockoff shirts that they, I don't know if they still sell them at concerts, maybe the bigger.
Oh, when you're outside after the show?
Yeah, and they're like $5 for a shirt and it's all like half tie-dyed badly. And
or it's like one band on one side and one band on the other.
Yeah, it's like six different shirts.
$10 make the holla. No, that probably happens at the bigger shows, like at the, because that's where we used to see it. That's where I used to see it happen. Mm-hmm. At like the Armory shows, then the Salem and the Portland, like Rose Garden, but Memorial Coliseum, stuff like that. But maybe they still do that at, for we,
they're
Justin
always
Bieber.
At the Raider games too.
If you go to a concert and if you live in Portland and are a screen printer and you know that Justin Bieber's coming, you know his t-shirts are going to be fucking $40. So you can make up some Justin Bieber shirts and be
you
in the parking lot.
Just print his name on it with a Sharpie and sell it for $5.
Or just
bucks.
With that Elvis-looking pose where he's so fucking bad boy-looking, but he's such a fag.
Nobody likes him anymore. Not even the people that liked him like him.
I think somebody still kind of likes him. I hate to say it, but I think that it's true.
You know who doesn't like him?
Me and you.
Adam Yao.
Yao?
Yaw.
Yawk.
Yeah. He doesn't like him.
He's dead.
I know. But he's still demanding from the grave.
They won a lawsuit, I heard. The Beastie Boys did.
He said he put in his will that no song or any art that he has done can be used in advertising.
Yeah.
Nor can his likeness. He put that in his will. So does that mean that no Beastie Boys song can be used in any advertising, even if the other ones want it to be? Not saying that they would want it to be.
I think
maybe. They're all right with it.
If they backed up his will statement.
I don't know if they manage his estate, though. But yeah, they got like fucking big buku bucks.
I think they won $1.9 million or
something like that.
And it was for a misuse of one of their songs, right?
Somebody had mashed up three of their songs and used it without their permission.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it wasn't for a commercial or something?
Yeah, it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they had mashed up like three Beastie Boys songs into a song for their advertisement.
Huh.
I'm Brian Fallow!
He's Brian. It's just Brian Fellow. I was mistaken. It's like when people call me Terry Giles. Mm-hmm. I'm actually just Terry Giles. I'm Brian Fellow.
So he's seeing people, huh?
Who?
Tracy Morgan. I see you.
He sees you. He's
I see you.
He's in the intensive care unit,
bro. That's a doctor's joke.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, he's doing better. He's seeing people.
Mm-hmm.
I see you. That's not nice. Too soon?
The more I watch that house show, the more he pulls stuff out of his ass out of nowhere.
Bloodily,
dude,
huh?
He's, yeah. Later on in the seasons, he really does, like, deduct things out of thin air.
He pulls it out of his bloody ass.
Just deducts things out of thin air.
Well, you know, that's what it takes to be a good TV personality. If there's such a thing, is there such a thing as a good TV personality?
Wouldn't you like to make $300,000 26 times a year?
Sure. I'd like to make $1 million a week, too, on a sitcom.
Would you want to be of the Friends thing, though? Yeah. You know, because those people are pretty much labeled for life now.
I know.
Right? Chandler's driving into poles. And
even if you do make a movie with a monkey later, you're still just... you're still that gray-haired Joey. What's in Hawk's CD player today? That kind of surprised me on this one. I could see him listening to this band, but not a greatest hits collection.
All right, greatest hits collection.
It's called Greatest Hits. And it's by a band that started in the 70s as a mostly instrumental band, and then they got a powerhouse singer who brought them to notoriety. And then they recently got a new singer who was young that they found on YouTube. Too many clues.
Oh, that was Queensryche?
Nope.
Second guess. Another band? Journey?
Yep, that's it. He's listening to Journey's Greatest Hits, dude, and that includes songs.
So who's
like,
crying now?
Yeah, he is, huh? He should be. He's listening. He's not going to stop believing.
The big wheel keeps on turning.
When the lights go down in the city,
yep.
It's raised on the radio.
Dude, they have more catchphrases than Mike Myers.
Yeah, any way you want it.
Dude, Burger King stole that one for years.
Anytime that you want me. Feeling That Way. Ooh, Feeling That Way.
Escape.
Yeah, Stone in Love. I come to you with open arms, faithfully. You know what's weird is Steve Perry recently made an appearance with the Eels. Do you know who the Eels are?
I like the
Eels. They're pretty cool. I was surprised to see.
And the Eels like birds.
Yeah, and I see that. It was weird. That didn't seem like someone who would be performing with the Eels. Nor did the Eels seem like someone who would have Steve Perry come on.
Yeah.
And they did Love and Touch and Squeezing. And they did another song. They did Open Arms.
I heard...
But you could tell they were playing him in a lower register because he's old.
I heard he's working with the NRA now with the Open Carry, with that song he did. Open Carry, Firearms.
Ah, ah. And, you know, Hans can make fun of me as I'm kind of making fun of him, but I own that CD.
Uh-huh.
I own that CD, and I own the CDs that the songs come from, so I've been there.
I think I once owned a Journey box set.
I've been there. But I was listening to the album on my turntable of my namesake, which my grandpa told me he was related to the Jay Giles Band, but I was listening to...
Probably are.
My first ever, I inherited from my dad, but it was released in 1973, and it's on red vinyl. And it's called Bloodshot.
Bloodshot Hero.
And it has songs like Ain't Nothing But a House Party and the South Side Shuffle and Give It to Me. Uh-huh. I love that Detroit Motor City Shakedown music, if I'm in the right mood for it.
Uh-huh.
You say mood? What kind of a
mood?
What kind of a mood are you in today?
Mood. Jason Mewes probably does.
Oh, and that was, you know, that was the Sunday What's His Haunt, and then we're kind of fucked right now, because Mondays was Fridays, and so this is actually Wednesday, so we're going to jump ahead. Han was listening to, he's going to vindicate himself right now by Wednesday's listening to his Grave, which is a death metal band from, I believe, from Sweden. The album was called Endless Possession of Souls. And I was listening to one of Gatch's least favorite artists, but it's okay because it was from like 1976, and I was listening to it in a retrospective way, not ironically, but it was one of the first concerts I ever saw, and I went online and looked it up to find out what the date was.
Bob Seger.
Yeah, Live Bullet, and that was right before Night Moves came out, before he started kind of getting gay.
Big boobs.
Looking for the big boobs.
Oh, I thought she was just working on them.
Oh, I'm looking for them and feeling them. But I found out that it wasn't listed on the... They have this concert directory website that tells, like, any major rocker all the shows that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every tour.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Oyster Cult and Bob Seger toured together a lot. I didn't know Blue Oyster Cult was from Detroit.
I didn't know either.
So they toured a lot together. They toured a lot together. It is Detroit Rock City. And that's where Undateable's book based.
Did you watch episode 3/4?
I did.
And
I'm going to let it keep growing on me. I think that it's not the best writing. And I noticed that the last episode I watched was written by a woman. And it's supposed to be a man's point of view on how to help your friend get some pussy. Basically, you know. But I think with some growth, and they've had good numbers, I don't think it's going to go away. It did strike.
That's because it's right after Dancing with the Stars, right?
It did. I think Dancing with the Stars has been over for a while. How did you know that? No, but I think with some growth, and if they can keep going for a while, it might be semi-successful. It is the most successful comedy in 5 years as far as viewing. Millions of people have viewed it. And they also got a replay of the episodes 3 and 4 right after the Stanley Cup.
And see, so they're always going to be a big numbers after that, though.
So they're getting
people just leave their TVs on.
Do they?
I think what matters now, too, especially for a show like that, is probably the 5-day ranking when you got the Hulu and stuff going on.
Yeah, you know? Who knew?
I don't know.
Hulu.
I haven't watched episode 3 and 4, so I'm not going to... give judgment.
Give it a watch. Yeah, there were some people doing a little bit of hate.
I first
them.
Two, and I was like,
they were a little bit weaker, and I've seen Ron.
It just doesn't remind me of a show that moves on from a season.
Ron has been saying, start with 3 and 4, and there was a couple haters on Twitter saying, oh, this looks terrible.
Dude, people looks like it's going to
be terrible. And then they,
haters of every show. If
then
you
they
go,
watched it, and he's like, man, I'm glad you guys talked me into giving it a chance, because I actually laughed out loud.
If you go to Hulu and watch any show and scroll down to the comments,
dude, it's like
people
YouTube.
That hate it. It's like, I saw one guy, I was watching Community, and I scrolled down, and this one guy was like, this show's so terrible. And I'm like, the show's in its fifth season. Why are you still... You if either
why are you
watched
still watching?
Every episode to know to have a good informed opinion to say that it's terrible, or you don't watch it and you just came here to hate on it.
Yeah, you're just trying to stir up the pot.
Yep.
Stir up the pot.
But every show's got that going on.
Of course they do. Dude, did you go? I almost forgot. Did you go to the naked bike race this week? Last weekend,
I did.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ride your bike up to Portland?
Yep.
Nakedly?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All the way there.
I heard that Jimmy Littlefield was going to participate, and he's fucking pretty fat.
Really?
No offense, Jimmy, if you're listening, you are though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you quit smoking for 3 years, yes, so far, but you're still fat. You had a heart attack when you were under 40, so lay off the fried foods, bud.
Yeah.
No, but I don't know if that's true or not, but. That's the easiest way to see a bunch of gross naked hippies, because most of the people that do that have to get a new bike seat the next day.
You know how to attract hippies? Wear beads.
I was gonna
around your neck.
Bees?
Beads.
Oh, I thought you meant like honey beads.
That's funny you say honey.
I was going to cover myself in honey. That's a good way to attract hippies, too.
And cover.
Honey.
Because I was going to say I got that from Mud Honey, because on the Super Fuzz Big Muff, cover
honey
cover
Mud honey cover
they wear beads, right? Beads. And when asked why, they always joke that it's because it gets them the hippie chicks.
Ooh. Well, beads get hippie chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Bees give you stings. No, outside the Elks Lodge there was a beehive inside of an underground water
looking
meter.
On a beehive.
In an underground water meter compartment. And you know how they got that little lid on them,
yep,
that you can lift up with a little hole? The hole
why'd
is just
you lift
about
it up?
I didn't. The bees were coming in and out of it.
Oh, why didn't
hundreds
you tape
of them.
It?
Well, because there was like hundreds of bees all around there, and there was a little kid running around. And then they were scared, and I said, well, stay away from it. Then you won't get stung, you dumb little fucking kid.
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't say that. And so that kid was with this lady and an older gentleman, and I call him older because his hair was completely gray, but he, mm-hmm, might have been just a little older than me. I don't know. And so we'd been seeing him for like 3 hours, at the first 3 hours of the show before Victims played, and we saw him on the dance floor,
mm-hmm,
and we'd made some eye contact a couple times, and they were playing outside, blah, blah, blah. Finally, the lady comes up to me right before we go on, and she says, I just want to say something. And I was like, I didn't know this lady from Adam, except for looking at him outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she said, I haven't been able to put lipstick on.
A pig.
She hasn't been able to put lipstick on herself.
All right.
Since she saw my comedy act.
Huh? Oh.
That's what I said. And I had some friends standing around, maybe Jason Moser, Jerry Murphy. And they, mm-hmm, she just came up and said, I just want you to know something. She, before she said my comedy act, she goes, I haven't been able to put lipstick on since I heard what you said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what is she talking about right now? And she goes, no. And then her husband comes walking up, and this was her quote. She goes, honey, look, it's the dog dick lipstick guy. That's what I am now.
That's funny.
I'm not Larry the Cable Guy. I'm the dog dick lipstick guy.
Dog dick. Lipstick.
She goes, 2 days later, I'm
don't
getting
get
ready.
It in your eye.
And she's like, I go to put the lipstick on in the mirror. And she goes, and then I instantly thought about what you said. And she goes, and I literally stopped and put it on my finger and wiped it on my lips. And I said, well, good. You probably didn't put as much lipstick on. And she's like, I know, because we look kind of slutty. She was quoting my act, dude, to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was embarrassing to where I felt my face get a little bit flushed because there were people standing around,
mm-hmm,
but I shouldn't have been embarrassed. I think it just kind of embarrassed me a little bit because that has never happened to me where someone who I literally did not know, I did not know that they had seen my act, came up to me and referenced part of my act and said that every time she goes to put makeup on, she thinks of it. And I was like, awesome. So the next day I'm telling someone else that. And she says, well, you know what one of your jokes sticks with me? She goes, the one about not knowing when you're done wiping your ass. And I said, oh, really? She goes, so what I'm trying to say is I think about you a lot when I'm shitting. That was Pat's wife that told me that, but I think she was serious.
Yep. Well, so, when else would you think of that?
Why would she have to think of me, though? She, like, wipes her ass and she looks
at
the
paper. It's probably because they got the picture in there.
Well, she wipes her ass and then she looks at the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's thinking, oh, remember when that guy said you got to look at the paper?
Yep.
Oh, why did I just smell it? He didn't say to smell it. Oh, I'm sick.
You should throw in a joke in there. You should ask the audience if they ever get in too much of a rush and they go to check real quick and the paper flies in their face. Has that ever happened to anybody? You just get so excited. You're in so much of a hurry. You got to really get going. And you go to check and it just flies right in your face and sticks to your nose.
How would you be... I would use that if I could understand it better,
uh-huh.
But I don't understand it.
Is it just a visual? You got to really work the visual up.
So you wipe real quick and you want to take a look at it and it just flies off your hand.
No, but you're more like, you're just coming. So it'll be like, oh, looking, oh.
Okay.
And then it hits you right in the side of the face and sticks.
Damn, dude. That's something to think about.
Give him something to think about.
You ever seen one of those guys with the beard that hangs past their feet and drags? Wonder if they get toilet paper on their beard.
I've only seen that in the Guinness Book of World Record.
Hmm.
The longest beard. I haven't personally seen a beard past a waist. Even ZZ Tops don't go past their waist.
You know that Billy Joel song, The Longest Beard?
Whoa, who's got the longest beard? Billy Gibbons. No, his is breaking off.
Is it?
When you get, yeah, dude, my dad's breaking off. My dad used to have a ZZ Top style beard, and I said, you've been trimming your beard? He's like, nope, it's breaking off. It's breakage, dude. You call it breakage.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to have a trim every once in a while. You just get split ends. It's just like your pubes. You can only grow your pubes so long.
And then, how long?
I'm telling you. Go ahead and try.
All right.
I'm giving you the grow your pubes out challenge. And to all the listeners, especially you, Dan, crawl around on your hands and knees. Mm-hmm. That's his new nickname that I just made up off the top of my head. Dan, crawl around on your hands and knees.
If you search up. If you
please
Google
grow
search.
Your pubes out and just tell me how and get my new Terry Giles pubic hair straightener. And then if you can get past 7, if you can get your pubes longer than your penis, mm-hmm. I will give you a icy hot challenge.
Wow.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying I'll wipe some icy hot on his balls.
If you Google the letter T, takes you
me.
To Twitter.
Because that's their logo.
T?
Yeah.
T.
Just a T.
T-T.
Not Twitter.
My favorite part of watching Wheel of Fortune is when Pat Sajak says, there are two T's.
If it was Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, Sean Connery would say, yes, there are. Vanna's got two T's. Why don't you turn those two T's around here,
man? Sometimes she has to move across that walkway to get to the letters.
But she don't turn them no more. She just touches two T's.
I know. She just touches
them. She's like, please touch your two T's.
Yep. But sometimes they're like quick to solve the puzzle, and she starts booking down there to get the thing before everything lights up.
Today's category is this
you
and that.
Think, do you think they're touch activated, or some guys just got the controls back
I think
there,
some
and
guys
she does
got
nothing
the controls
but just
there.
Go up there and go... Boo, boo,
dude,
boo.
I saw the end of a weird show that I'd never seen before called Sing Your Face Off.
That's because it's a new show.
Have you seen it?
No.
Dude,
that's
Sebastian Bach
could...
dressed up like Willie
I
Nelson.
I saw part of it. I saw John Lovitz as Elton John. I didn't see
I
him
thought
sing.
He was Billy Idol. Was he Elton John?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Oh, they do a different one every week.
Oh, do they do a different one every week?
Yeah, okay. And this, at the end of the episode this week, they chose to who they're going to be... He got Meatloaf for next week. John Lovitz did. And Sebastian
that's
Bach.
That's not random.
Sebastian Bach. And that's what I'm saying. They pull a thing like on
Kitchen Casino.
No, it's more like the fucking wheel on Price is Right.
Okay.
But it's got a lever. But then it's just like some screens. It's not a thing turning. It's screens with... And so he got Freddie Mercury. Sebastian Bach has to be Freddie. And I guess you
who
have
was
to...
was he last week?
Willie Nelson. But I missed the performance.
Probably didn't miss much.
I probably didn't. But then one of the guys on there is a basketball player, and John Lovitz is a comedian.
Yeah, I saw that guy.
Yeah, so he had to be...
Basketball player.
He had to be Enrique Iglesias.
Sing your face off.
Yeah, and then it's like, whose face are you going to be next week? And they're click, 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 click. Oh, you got Freddie Mercury. And he's like, yeah, fucking yeah. You know, fucking Sebastian Box, all like, metal.
What do you think of Key and Peele in Fargo?
I think that's awesome. They've been on like two or three episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how they got that gig. Of course, you got Gary Valentine being the cop. You know that guy?
Yep.
He's a comedian as well. And it's kind of like Bill Burr and Lavelle Crawford on fucking Breaking Bad. The comics, they got to work too. And they can't. So they do every audition they can get. And every once in a while, they pick up something that's good. I love fucking what's his name too.
Who?
Better Call Saul in Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember his name right now because I smoked.
What about Hanks Jr.?
He's okay.
I saw him on a Key and Peele episode.
I think he could do a better accent if he tried, but that's just me, you know? I don't know. He's from Duluth, not from fucking
Fargo. I
heard
he's going to be in Splash 2.
What?
Yep.
With Harold Dana?
Yep.
That's my wife. Harold Dana. All right. We're going to get out of here, you guys. And we got to keep our bandwidth at a minimum. No, we'll still do some longer episodes, but thanks for listening on the hump day.
Thank you, Seattle.
Go to tagcastpodcast.com. And if you do go to Seattle, I was going to talk about that. I'll talk about that on Friday. You can throw cat litter on people.
I know that on.
You like
hey, strange fact, did you know Frasier sang his own theme song for his show?
How does that go?
It goes... Thank you, Seattle, at the end.
It does?
And he says something about...
Because he was he like a singer, Broadway-type actor before he got his podcast?
What's going on? He was into a bunch of cocaine when he was really popular.
Like Tim Allen, Robin Williams, Jerry Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
What is the deal with all this coke?
Was Seinfeld in a cokehead?
No. I'm trying to cause controversy right now.
Oh.
Hey, tune in with us again Friday. And maybe you'll hear us.
Friday, your pants.
Please send us money at tagcastpodcast.com. Donate icon.
Donate. Sorry, we can't accept kidneys at this time.
No. And, yeah, we're not kidney.
Yeah.
We're not kidneying around.
I don't have any connections on the black market for kidneys.
All right. Peace out.
Rock on.